Here's Howard Stern. Now, we're going to break in. If you guys want to break in, just let Bobby know if there's a point you want to make. But we're going to listen, and we're going to intersperse our thoughts throughout this next 4 or 5 minute interview with Howard Stern, Jon Bon Jovi this morning.
When you try to buy the Buffalo Bills, you know, you were going to be an owner of a football team. I told you not to do it, but you don't listen to me.
No.
And but Trump, have you heard this story?
I read it in GQ.
Do you believe it?
It's true.
It is true.
Sure.
Let me tell people what we're talking about.
All right, stop it right there. Yes, it became a big deal in GQ a few months ago, but Michael Caputo broke yeah. all of this information on the Tim Graham Show
yes.
on March 8th.
Right here.
Months before GQ ran its version of the story. And you know what I blame, actually? The Buffalo News, for some reason, cannot be searched on Google. And if this reporter were
Thank
doing
you.
A story on this Donald Trump and Michael Caputo and Bill's 12th man Thunder and this, what we're about to listen to, it would have been at the top of the Google search. And I'm sure this reporter did his due diligence, but heaven forbid a Buffalo News story appear on Google.
It's hard enough to search the Buffalo News on the Buffalo News.
If you search the Buffalo News on the, you can't find this on the Buffalo News page. So what happens? GQ gets all the glory for this Bon Jovi story that was broken on these airwaves.
That the story I heard was that Trump was trying to get the Buffalo Bills the same time you were.
Okay, that's a, yeah, sort of. But yeah,
He wanted to own the team.
He expressed interest. Go on.
But he hadn't put together the whole financial package like you did. I mean, you really put a bid in.
Yeah.
Okay, now, Trump did put together a full package. So Jon Bon Jovi is being a little disingenuous when it comes to belittling Trump's interest. Trump did actually do almost the whole thing.
It's a very, very nice package. Great package, great deal.
And the fact that he didn't get it was sad.
Amazing,
very sad.
Amazing deal.
Bobby?
Yes.
That he orchestrated a campaign against you and went against you with the people of Buffalo? What did he do?
According to the article, he hired a guy to discredit us because the two guys that I was in partnership with were from Canada.
Okay, now the guy that he hired is Michael Caputo, who was on our show and talked. And Michael Caputo, I think we're going to have him at 5 o'clock. He's going to call in and give his thoughts on the interview today. So I just want to, because they're mentioning people in vague terms, I'm going to stop when I can to let you know that it was Michael Caputo and the group that he put together were all his buddies from the Big Tree area in Orchard Park, his old running buddies from youth, and they put together this offensive to make sure that the people in Buffalo... Hey, do we want to just play the Michael Caputo thing? Can we just intersperse that?
Yeah, give me 1 second. Which one?
Well, no, let's not do that. That's too confusing. Let's just stay with the Howard Stern interview. So anyway, Michael Caputo put things together and came up with the Bon Jovi Free Zones and all these different campaigns. It was, as I told Michael Caputo at the time, small P propaganda. Michael Caputo laughed and pretty much agreed with that. It was propaganda.
So it gave the guy from this article ammunition to say that we were going to take it across the border and then discredit me to the place where...
Yeah, I remember Buffalo was concerned that you'd become the owner and you were going to move the team.
Take it out of Buffalo.
To Toronto.
It got so bad that they stopped playing us on the radio up there.
In Buffalo.
Yeah, so his evil genius, you know, and you know, people say, I go, no, it's genius.
See, I don't know if he's calling Trump an evil genius or he's talking about Trump's
evil genius
Michael Caputo.
That's what he did because he was taking out a serious candidate to buy the team and then hoped that he would get it at a bargain price. But we were as real got. And, you know, I'm brokenhearted because I would have loved it and what we would have done in Western New York. And, you know, people don't realize that I was really going to, you know, get a house there. I was going to move there. I was really seriously.
And I know that's true because I asked you privately at the time. I said, John, what's going on with this? Why do you want to own a team? Blah, blah, blah. You told me. I said, so you're not going to move the team? You go, absolutely not.
No.
I want to live in Buffalo and I want to own the team.
Yeah.
I do believe that to be true.
I don't know why.
Now, I covered the wholesale and my strong opinion was that Jon Bon Jovi was not going to move the team to Toronto. And there are reasons for that. Even if maybe he wanted to, or the Rogers group, which is who he was attached to up in Toronto, they would have wanted to pull the team to Toronto. I don't think the NFL would have let it happen. And there are too many power brokers involved that would have stopped it from happening, including the governor, Andrew Cuomo, and Chuck Schumer, and Kirsten Gillibrand, and anybody else, because the NFL needs powerful friends, especially at this time, and even more so at that time. You had the Ray Rice scandal going on, you know, all these different, the commissioner was under fire for all of his disciplinary things. The NFL needs the government because of antitrust issues that the NFL has. Back then, the blackouts were still in effect, and there were a lot of people in government who were against that. That's not an issue anymore. The NFL could not afford to piss off Chuck Schumer or Andrew Cuomo when its headquarters are in Manhattan and the only team based in New York is Buffalo. And the New York Jets and the New York Giants, both of their headquarters are now across the border in New Jersey. The Jets used to be on Long Island, not anymore. So really, New York, would Chuck Schumer have allowed the Bills to move? Would Andrew Cuomo have? No. I think that the NFL was in trouble in terms of, you know, had they allowed that to happen.
Well, and also the public stadium money issue and television networks. Those are two factors that would have seriously made Canada itself not a viable market for the NFL.
There are no ratings in Toronto.
Right.
That's a problem that, you know, you have with basketball and baseball and hockey to a degree is, yeah, there are no ratings up in Toronto. And the NFL's banner advertisers, and the brands like AT&T or Verizon or whatever it is, Pepsi, you know, different car companies, different, you know, whatever, internet, cable, they don't exist in Canada. So there's that aspect to it also. There are some things that don't products that don't translate. All right, I don't want to get too far afield.
Desperately. You know, we had a great plan for it, and the partners would have made it a unique situation. Look, I think that the guy that got it is doing a very good job. But, you know, I was crushed.
Don't you think you would have added some glamour to it? Well, you guess who owns the Bills? It's John Bon Jovi. Might have helped the team in terms of their star power,
profile,
yeah? Don't you think that would have been good for them?
I think that we could have done a lot of amazing things. But it didn't work out, and the guy that got it, I think he's doing a very good job.
Because, I mean, it's got to be weird. Trump, according to this, they claim that Trump reportedly funded a fan group, quote-unquote fan group, who would hand out signs at Buffalo bars to...
And this is Bill's 12th Man Thunder, Michael Caputo's group.
Clearing them Bon Jovi-free zones.
Right, and started a whole press campaign. There was a lot of shit. With a guy, the football player who was interviewed in like New York Magazine, had come to me recently and apologized and said he got taken by the reporter. And it snowballed. It's evil genius to think about what this guy did.
Wait, did he
and
just...
why he...
Was that the part of the interview where he said a Bills player just now?
Yeah, who's he talking about? Andre Reed?
Talk about Andre Reed, who in a New York Magazine article was at some appearance, and this reporter interviewed him about Bon Jovi, and it was Andre Reed's quote was, "Man, F Bon Jovi. You might as well just take this city, throw it in the river, and let it go down Niagara Falls." So Andre Reed, I could actually picture those words coming out of Andre's mouth.
Right. Yeah.
And Andre regretting it if he ever had the opportunity to cross paths with John Bon Jovi, which happens often.
No,
Bon Jovi is around the NFL a lot, and he performs at these Hall of Fame induction parties.
They saw each other, I think it was last year.
Yeah.
I wrote about it. They posed together. It was on Instagram.
Did Andre Reed said something about John Bon Jovi during his Hall of Fame speech, didn't he? He kind of made a mention, got the crowd going.
We'll have to ask Vic Carucci about that. Vic actually wrote Andre Reed's induction speech. A lot of people don't know that. But Vic,
he did?
He did.
Vic is a man of many, he does a lot out there.
It's his hands and a lot of cookie jars, as they say.
So my only thought here is, so the Pegulas didn't save the Bills. They would have stayed here anyway. So that's two teams that it's a myth that they would have left.
That's
Buffalo,
my opinion.
Not for the beneficence of
that's
of
my
the
opinion,
Pegulas
Jerry,
or Tom Galsano.
But that's an educated
opinion.
No,
I mean, that's based on what I'm hearing here.
All right, go ahead, Bobby.
Thinks the way he does. We were coming from, you know, just a pure place of playing fair. We filled out our tax returns. We came up with the money. We went, you know, 27 months of hard work to get to that place. And you know, this guy was going to cut us out.
Yeah, to get to that place means to get the financing together to do this whole thing.
It, you
it's
know.
Big money.
All right, the 27 months, I think, is the Bon Jovi group had been exploring NFL options. It's, the Bills obviously weren't on the market for 27 months. And John Bon Jovi, I think, is correct here, too. Of the groups that made it as far as Trump, Bon Jovi, the Pegulas did, I think the Pegulas and the Bon Jovi group were the only two, and I'm talking about some of the others too, that, you know, who I had off the record conversations with, which weren't who weren't supposed to be talking. The Pegulas and the Bon Jovi groups did it as close to the right way as you could have. Like I said, there were some non-disclosure agreement issues by the letter of the non-disclosure agreement. The Pegulas didn't say anything. Bon Jovi technically with the open letter and some other things did. But the Trump group was all over the place with its non-disclosure agreement. They had people talking left and right. So at least the Bon Jovi group, I think, was admirable in its earnest pursuit of the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah. But why just you? There were other guys putting together
bids.
Because
There wasn't.
It came down to two, right?
Yeah.
It was you
the
and
guy and the guy that got it. He owned the hockey team up there. And so, you know, he got to stay out of it because I was so high profile.
Right.
And my two partners were from Canada. And so, you know, what happened was, according to the article, and I believe it to be true because I've spoken to people since.
It's true because it was said on the Tim Graham show.
That guy is an evil genius.
Oh, my God. You're pissed, right? I mean, I know that was your dream.
I'm over it now. Over it now. But it took years of therapy and getting over it.
You were angry.
I was disappointed. I wasn't angry. I was disappointed.
Is that a joke or did you actually go into therapy to deal with the loss of the team?
That was one of the things, yeah.
So you were going through.
I think that's an important revelation. John Bon Jovi wanted this team so bad that he went into a depression and needed therapy to help get over the fact that he came this close to being an NFL owner. And as the interview continues here, he expresses that he was going to give up his music career and be an owner.
Well, he's wanted to for a while. I mean, he's been close with Robert Kraft. He owned the AFL team for a while, and that's been
he's close with a lot of NFL owners, including and the commissioner, Roger Goodell.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think a lot of people thought, well, this is as he calls it, a vanity project, but this was going to be his life.
At that same time, Richie leaves the band. You don't get the Bills.
Yeah.
And
the record company stuff was going haywire. So, yeah, I had gone through a real dark period between 14 and 15. And then out of it, you know how the truth of the matter is when you're coming through that darkness, they tell you there's light and you go, never going to happen.
Well,
it takes a long time to see the light.
You know, I always feel victimized. I mean, that's just my thing. So, like, if I found out that there was an actual conspiracy against me.
Oh, I didn't know that till way.
But I'm saying that would scare me in a way.
Oh, yeah, it didn't scare me. No, I don't care. You know,
I'm scared of everything. I'm scared of going to Cleveland. I mean,
you're wondering.
Is it so hard to draw a line between this and what happened to Hillary Clinton? She got a little bummed out after she lost, and there was some sort of conspiracy that involved the Russians against the election involving Donald Trump. That's just what's going through my head. Maybe I watch too much cable news. Go ahead.
They had actual conspiracies against you.
I know. I don't want to know about them.
No, I wasn't scared. We were disappointed because, you know, I mean, this wasn't a vanity project. This was a life's commitment.
It's about misinformation.
I'm proud of you, my friend.
Do you think you'll ever own a team?
No, I think that
we don't want to own a team.
No, I'm
John
done.
And I have decided to buy a team.
Interesting their throwaway line at the end where Robin Quivers asked the question, do you think you'll ever own an NFL team? And he says, I think that's come and gone, which I think is an interesting point because a prominent member of the Bills front office and I were having a discussion right after the Carolina Panthers were put up for sale and Jerry Richardson had to step down.
Yeah.
And the first person we both thought of, we were having a discussion, said maybe John Bon Jovi, this is his chance. But here he indicates that he thinks the chance has come and gone. And now John Bon Jovi about to get into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Maybe he's just settled. He's come to grips with the fact that the Bills will now go down as his only chance. And the fact that he's hated in Buffalo. And look, is it fair? No, I don't think it's fair that he is vilified in Western New York. But I will say this. He needed to have a better understanding of how it was going to play with the Bills and the situation in Toronto with playing games up there, one regular season game a year, the fear of the fans of Buffalo that they knew, and I'm saying I'm using new in finger quotes, that when Ralph Wilson died, their team was gone. They've been worried about that for 20 years. Ralph Wilson was an old man for a long time. And for John Bon Jovi to have his major investors to have the bulk of his money coming from Canada, maybe not a bulk of his money. I don't know exactly how the breakdown was,
right.
But the money men were from Toronto. That's his own fault.
Yeah.
And the MLSE people did plan on moving the team to Toronto initially. Those plans changed, but that was part of their initial hopes when they first got involved in the
when they were looking for a football team in years ago. Yeah, I think that Ralph's deal with Old Man Rogers to put games up in the Sky Dome was paving the way for an NFL team, probably the Bills. And it didn't work out. The reaction just didn't, the response wasn't there. And I think everybody abandoned it. And it got to a point where the Bills were going to stay in Western New York. Michael Caputo, by the way, the only person I know who has testified in front of a congressional hearing. So that's my badge of honor. I can say that I know a guy who's gotten a going over. Is that on your, if we go to your company website now, Michael, do you have that listed as some sort of badge of honor?
Right. No, but, I'm sure it's not over yet. So, that's just the first one. All this Russia stuff, it's going to go for some more months. Anyway, I'd rather talk about the Bills.
Yes. Let's talk about 12th Man Thunder. And
that's actually Bills Fan Thunder. It used to be 12th Man Thunder, but we had to change that name.
Oh, right, because of the Texas A&M,
right?
A&M. I'm sorry, I've been saying 12th Man Thunder all throughout the show. Yeah, let's...
That's right, that's what it initially was.
Bills Fan Thunder and your subversive acts of propaganda against one John Bon Jovi.
Yes, it was, this all came together when, right after the revered Ralph Wilson passed away. Everybody was talking about who might buy the Bills, and at the time, I was working pretty closely with Donald Trump, and he asked myself and two other fellows from Buffalo, Nick Langworthy and Emilio Colicovo, to come see him at Trump Tower to talk to him about potentially buying the Bills.
Now, I have to say, Michael, I want to stop you for a second. Michael is recounting a story that he told on the Tim Graham Show on March 8th. This was the scoop, and if the Buffalo News could be searched on Google, FFS... GQ would have at least found this article, and not GQ made this up like it was some big scoop, but it happened right here. Michael Caputo in studio with us, and so I'm sorry, Mike. It gets me a little riled
up. To me, it's like it's what I do for a living. I did the same thing for Twin Peaks when they got canceled by ABC. It's like, it's a grassroots effort to try and make a policy or a decision change, and so we just did the same thing. But, the idea came from Donald Trump, because it was Trump who, in that first meeting, talked a lot about how the Canadians were going to buy the team and were likely to take them to Toronto, and that Bon Jovi's name was attached to it. So immediately, one of the first things we talked about, since I was going to be doing community relations for his effort, was putting together a grassroots group here in Buffalo that would oppose any move of the team and therefore oppose the Toronto investment group. And it took off.
Now, you listened to the interview this morning. What did any surprises, inaccuracies? What was your takeaway from what Howard Stern and John Bon Jovi talked about?
Well, I love, Bon Jovi was really delusional, if you ask me. I think he was embarrassed by the way things went down. I mean, we were all here. Remember that op-ed, the article he wrote for the Buffalo News saying, I'm a big fan of the Buffalo Bills. I'm going to work hard to make everybody proud and everything. And nowhere in the article did he say, we're not going to move them to Toronto. I mean, it was completely transparent what they were going to do. They were even willing to pay more money for the team because they were willing to pay as much as the team would be worth in a major metropolitan area that's the size of Toronto. So it was very transparent.
I disagree with you there, Mike, and we disagree. We had that discussion a year ago when you were in here, and I said it on the previous segment. I think that there was too much political capital involved in keeping the Bills in Buffalo from this, you know, our two senators and our governor, and the fact that the New York, the NFL is headquartered in Manhattan, and the antitrust laws that the NFL relies on, and the fact that it has nonprofit status, for crying out loud.
No longer.
Right. You know?
No longer.
No, is that?
They did away with that 2 years ago.
Okay.
Because
that was
of arguments like that.
The blackouts and all
right.
that stuff. That's when the blackouts went away. All right. Anyway, but
well,
in 2014.
At that time, they did have it.
True. That's right. So anyway, I'm sorry, Michael. Just a point of a good, healthy debate that we can have someday. We can, whether or not the team was going to go. But so anyway,
well,
back
you
to
know,
the interview this morning.
The team would have gone. It would have failed because the fans wouldn't have gone with them. And you know whether it was in their plans then or they changed their mind. Certainly, the Bills were worth more in Toronto than they were in Buffalo, and the price is what the president was focused on, because if you look at Donald Trump's record, he buys assets at a discount almost always. The things he's done, the investments he's made, he's done a lot of times with distressed assets, and he wanted to buy the Bills at a reasonable price. And as soon as the price went over $1 billion, remember, he bid $1 billion and then he backed off to $800 million after
right.
he saw the book. So, I mean, his decision, it was all based on price. And, of course, you know, kind of leveraging out the Canadian, you know, the value of the team in Toronto was what he thought was the best move when it came to the Bon Jovi effort.
Right. Well, Michael, thanks.
But I thought it was funny that Bon Jovi was still kind of smarting about all of this.
not kind of smarting. He said that it helped fuel his depression, which included Richie Sambora leaving the band and a couple other things. But he said that he needed therapy to help him get over it, and it took him a couple of years, that this was his one chance. He said towards the end of the interview on almost a throwaway question from Robin Quivers, that this was his one chance to buy a team, that that's over and done with. And so, yeah, if this was his dream and Bill's fan thunder took away John Bon Jovi's dream, I mean, he's just going to have to settle for being a Rock and Roll Hall of Famer and sleeping on piles of $100 bills.
Yeah, color me depressed. Color me depressed. You know? I got to tell you, I wouldn't cross the street to put Bon Jovi out if he was on fire. So I've always felt
either.
That
I'm
way about
you.
His music, about yeah. everything he does. I've got no, you know,
yeah, it's very
I find him to
away.
Be a smarmy hairband pretender. But if he wants to blame Buffalo Bills fans for sending him into a tailspin, so be it.
I will say that the Bon Jovi free zones, I know that they still exist in here and there, but in general, Bon Jovi will be played around Western New York. I think people have moved on from that. But with my app and from a distance, I have tried to play it at the Big Tree Inn jukebox, and it does not fly.
What a bastard.
But
no,
I do it with my app so that way people don't see. I don't walk up, put in money, and then a Bon Jovi song comes on. I wait for somebody else to go up to the jukebox.
It's genius.
And then I pick next, and the guy is usually still standing at the jukebox, and he gets a stern talking to.
Yeah, that's nice. You know, I'll tell you, that's where the whole Bills Fan Thunder idea was born. Even though it was the concept was hatched in Trump Tower, it was in a little bungalow house on Abbott Road, about six houses down from the Big Tree, by a bunch of guys who've been kicked out of the Big Tree about a dozen times. And you know, there's a lot there.
was Hammer part of that meeting?
No, yes, in fact, Hammer was a part of the meeting.
Oh, wow. All right.
He walked in as we were talking. He sat there, stood there with his arms crossed across his chest, shaking his head. I mean, really, the private parking lot owners, at least several of them, were behind the whole concept and moving a lot of it through the Bills, you know, the Bills Mafia ranks and the parking lots. It was really a grassroots effort that, you know, we can be proud of for a long time.
Former Trump operative. Clandestine projects, Western New York Bureau, Michael Caputo. Thanks for coming on, Mike, and we need to catch up soon off the air.
All right, brother. Take care. Thank you, fellas.
All right. See Michael Caputo, we're going to take a break. That is more insight on John Bon Jovi and his attempt to purchase
different
the Buffalo
side
Bills.
Of it, too, which is cool.
Absolutely.
I mean, you got to hear first, too. Don't
this
forget.
This is, hey, when it comes to what happened with the Bills and the sale, this show is gonna get into it. I think it's a fascinating time in Bills history. Maybe the most fast. Four Super Bowls, sure. But there was no bigger story, and I've said this, and I stand by it. There's no bigger sports story in Western New York history than when Ralph Wilson died and the team went up for sale, because that's more important than getting to the Super Bowl. You can't win any more Super Bowls if you're the Buffalo Bills if you don't have a team. And I think it goes down as one of the biggest stories of any kind, sports or not, in Western New York history.